I got a golden key that I'm going to put in your hand. And don't come just, amen, just to come. I want you to come looking for that miracle. Look for the doors to open. Aren't you just tired of going through? Aren't you just tired of suffering? Aren't you just tired of just, amen, dealing with that mess? That person that's bound, you know it's witchcraft. I'm just going to say it. Amen. And I don't care what anybody said. Don't care what you think about me. Because I know the devil is real, and I know witchcraft is real. I heard somebody say, a bishop is real. It sure is. I heard you when you said it. You just said that in your spirit. I want you to know, amen, I come to get the devil off of you. Amen. The root worker, devil, use a lie. I know how to deal with you, and I'm coming against you on the behalf of God's people. Oh, I'm going to be fasting over the weekend like never before because I'm coming to unblock that money, loose that money. Amen. Praise God. There's a person listening. It ain't that you're not used to money. You're used to having money, and you're listening right now. You're used to having it. Amen. Praise the name of God. You're used to having money. But I want you to know, amen, God's got more for you. Amen. Doesn't individual money have, amen, look like no matter how much money you get, it goes through your hands. You can't hold on to it. The devil is a lie. God wants to move for you. God wants to deliver you. God wants to set you free. Amen. Praise God. We got to take that mess from off of you and from around your door. You got an enemy. Praise God. When Jesus was going through, amen, praise God, the village and going through the farmlands, he looked over and saw tare. Amen. Praise God. Growing among the wheat. And he said, an enemy has done this. Amen. Somebody, amen, know what I'm talking about. But God says you're getting ready to come through a door. I feel your anointing flowing like never before. Get ready, get ready, get ready. God is getting ready to move. I know what I feel. And God knows I feel what I know. Amen. But you got to go to your phone. You got to go to your phone and keep dialing. 318-266-8262. God bless you. I know what I feel. Do you believe God? Amen. Praise God. The anointing is flowing. The power of God is resting in your life. Precious, you know who I'm talking to. You know who I'm talking to. Amen. The Lord wants to bless you in a business. Amen. Praise God. And amen. You, all you've been asking for is the money to start the business. You just want the seed money. Amen. Praise God. God says he's getting ready to move for you. He's getting ready to move for you, and you're getting ready to come through that supernatural door. And a supernatural miracle is getting ready to take place. All you got to do is just believe God and know that God is right there where you are. Why should you suffer when others are being healed? Why should you die before your time?
We are experiencing technical difficulties. The next ministry, Living Word, will be coming up in just a minute, and we'll play in its full program. Thank you so much.
Would you look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter number 15? We'll parade and peruse verse 1 through 7 and the periphery of verse 20 through 24. Amen. When you have 1 Corinthians and you're standing, chapter number 15, and you're looking at verse 1, I want you to say with me, I have the word, and I'm ready to receive it. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which ye also are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, and of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then all of the apostles, and last he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Let's go on to verse 20. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. Amen. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade away, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. I want to talk to you from those scriptures and tag and title this thought. I declare unto you the gospel. Amen. I declare unto you the gospel. Amen. When we discuss or when we talk about the gospel, the word gospel itself means good news. And when we declare the good news, you know, we as a people in this day in 2016, we are more apt to hear bad news. Amen. The whole reason why news channels are on is because mostly they broadcast and tell you what's bad. They tell you all the bad things that have happened. Well, when we want to spread good news, you know, you can't really hardly hear anything good anymore. But when we want to spread good news, we most of the time tell the good news to the people who we love the most. Amen. And so when we share the gospel, should not we start with the people that we love the most? And tell them the good news that has happened to us. And you know, this gospel, this good news is something that we should not hide from one another. Because if it's hidden, it's hidden to those that are lost. Amen. But we need to make sure that if there's anybody in our life that we love and we know of, that we should share the good news. So what is the good news? What is the gospel? Well, the gospel is the entirety of the life of Jesus Christ. Amen. When we talk about the gospel is full. Amen. Because it is the birth, it is the life, it is the suffering and the death, the resurrection and the coming again of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so when we talk about that, you know, I was thinking about this the other day, and I was thinking about how there were some guys that was just mocking Jesus. You know, they was mocking this Resurrection Sunday on the way up. Amen. And I said, you know, I can't really be too cordial, because I can get in my flesh a little bit to people who mock my Savior. People who don't understand what he's done for me. Amen. How would you feel if, you know, just let's look at this from a natural standpoint. If somebody bought you a house and a car and did all these natural things for you, and then you walked up on somebody downing them, how would you feel? Would you just let them continue? Would you say, oh, yeah, I like what you're saying? No, you would say, wait a minute, I know him personally, and he's done some good things for me. And so I feel the same way about Jesus, that he's done so much for me, I can't allow somebody to down him. I can't allow somebody to belittle him. Now, I'm not going to get into an argument with you, but I'll have to be friends with you. Amen. If you don't like Jesus. Amen. Because we're not going to get to know each other anyway. You're going to go one place and I'm going to go to the other. Amen. Y'all real serious this morning. But the gospel, when we declare the gospel, we need to let people know that Jesus is coming again also. Amen. They make fun of us because we're waiting on a savior. We're waiting on him to come again. Now, whether some people see him and they die and then they get the judgment, whatever the case, you need to know that he still exists, that he's real. Amen. But Paul here, he's telling us, he's talking about the gospel. He said, brethren, that means those who are of the same womb, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, wherein ye have received and wherein ye stand. He says, now, this is what you need to be able to stand on, the same gospel that I've been preaching unto you. Don't change it up. Amen. Amen. We have science now. We have all these intellectuals now that try to change up what really happened in the gospel. Amen. But when we talk about the gospel, one thing I want to focus on this morning, being that it is Resurrection Sunday, I want to focus on the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the midst of the gospel. Because when we talk about the resurrection, we have to talk about the person of the resurrection. So who is the person of the resurrection? The person of the resurrection is Jesus Christ. Remember when he came to Lazarus's grave and Mary and Martha was very upset, and one of them met him and they said to him, they said that our brother, we will see him again on the last day in the resurrection. And Jesus spoke to her and said, I am the resurrection. He was letting her know that I have the power to bring back to life that which was dead. To resurrect something means to resuscitate, to bring it back. And so what God does for us through Jesus Christ is that he resurrects us. Amen? And so we look at the person of Jesus Christ. Who is he? He is the Son of God. He is the Lamb of God. He's the one. You know, I like something about God. God does something that we can't even explain. And because we can't explain it, a lot of people don't want to believe it. Because I wondered how in the world could he be the Son of God and God at the same time. I wonder how could he be the Lamb of God and also the Lion of Judah at the same time. I wondered how he could be the root of Jesse and the branch of David at the same. That doesn't make sense to me, but what I do know is that he is God. And if he's God, he's sovereign. And all that he does makes good sense to him. So we will understand it. I understand now why my grandmother would say we'll understand it better by and by. My mind, my finite mind may not be able to understand an infinite God, but I understand that I need to believe in him and that what he's done. And so I need to believe in the person of the resurrection. Now, what happened here? Let me give you some background and some explanation. And I told you I didn't really have a structure, so y'all got to bear with me. We got to understand, first of all, in Exodus, that him being the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God in Exodus, the Bible says that they took and they killed the lamb during the Passover. This was the Passover week. And so they killed the lamb during the Passover. They told him the high priest had to set a lamb apart to be used for a Passover lamb, a sacrifice unto God. So they would kill the lamb, and they would do this every year. But the first time they did it was in the book of Exodus, and Moses told them to kill the lamb, and he said, take the blood and put it on the doorpost so that the death angel would what? Pass over. The death angel would not be able to harm those that were in the house where the blood was applied. Preach. And so when we in our life, when we got to understand that Jesus' blood was shed for us, he is that same lamb. The Bible says that when John the Baptist baptized him, he said, behold the Lamb of God. Come on and say man here. He said, behold the what? Lamb of God. And now why was it that the Bible says in the book of Exodus that the high priest had to set aside a lamb? Well, John the Baptist's father named Zacharias was a priest. and he worked in the temple, amen. And so when you look at Caiaphas and you look at Annas, the ones who were supposedly high priests of that day, they were just set up by the Roman government. They were not truly high priests. John the Baptist by right was the high priest, so he set aside Jesus and said, behold the Lamb of God. So now when they would take the lamb and put, they would kill it and they would put blood on the doorpost, they would take that lamb blood, and then Moses declared to them, he said, now you need to eat of the lamb. He said, don't take no parts out of it. He said, cook it with all the innards in it. He said, I want you to leave the eyes on it, leave the feet on it. I want you to cook the whole thing, and I want you to eat the whole thing, and don't leave nothing. I wish I had somebody. So what was he saying? He was letting us know that the blood, listen to this, y'all got to get this. He was letting us know that the blood would be good for passing, for being able to pass by death and not die. But in order for you to get out of Egypt, you had to eat the lamb. Because look at this, have mercy, I'm trying to give it to you like I know it. You got to understand something here. Who was the lamb? Jesus is the Lamb of God. And so since he's the Lamb of God, we have to eat. He said, if you eat of my body and drink of my blood, they had, oh Lord, have mercy. You got to eat of the lamb. And so what happens here is that in order for them to come out of Egypt, because remember, there was some sick, there was some that was not able to walk and do other things, but after they ate that lamb that night, everybody was healed. After they ate that lamb that night, everybody was able. If there were any blind, they were able to see. Go back and read in the book of Exodus. You'll find out that after they ate the lamb, they were able to get up that night, and they were able to walk out of Egypt. I wish I had somebody. So what am I saying to you today? I'm suggesting to you that, yeah, I get saved by the blood of the lamb. I get eternal life, and if I'm under the blood, I don't have to taste the death. I have eternal life. But in order for me to get out of this Egypt, in order for me to live through this thing, I have to eat the word of God. Jesus said, I am the bread that came from heaven. He was born in where? Bethlehem. The word Bethlehem, there's a second Hebrew letter of the letter of the Hebrew alphabet is Beth. That means a house. And Lehim, which means bread, or it means life. And so Jesus said he was born in Bethlehem. He was born in the house of bread, meaning the house of life. And so Jesus said, this is where I come from. I come from life to give you life. And so when he came, he said, I am the what? Bread of life. So when we take that bread and we drink that cup, we do that and we are being able to come out of Egypt, coming out of the world into him. Come on and say amen. Into eternal life. And so when we look at who the person is, we see the Lamb of God. We see the one who was slain. Come on and say amen. I love the way God set this thing up. It is so beautiful when I think about the person of who he is. He is the Lamb. And so when we get to eating the Lamb, and we can't be picky eaters when it comes to the Lamb of God. See, remember I just said, in order for you to come out of this, in order for you to get delivered from bondage, you got to eat the lamb. Now, who is he? He's the word. The Bible said that he's the word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. So I need to eat the what? Word of God. That's the same as eating the lamb. I wish I had somebody. And so when I eat the word of God, it gets me to a place. Now, when we talk about eating this lamb, when we talk about eating the word of God, we got to make sure we eat it all. He told him, he said, don't take nothing off of it. Don't take nothing out of it. Eat all of it. So why? Now, look, I got to be able to eat his eyes so I can see like him. Preach. I got to be able to eat his brain so I can have the mind of Christ. Preach. I got to be able, come on and say man, to eat his bowels, because I need to have the bowels of compassion, the bowels of love. I got to be able to eat his heart so I can have the heart of God. I got to be able to eat his feet so I can learn how to walk like, y'all don't hear me this morning, so I can walk like him. I got to be able to eat his nose so I can discern like him, and his ear so I can hear like him what the Father is saying. So we have to learn to eat it all. Yeah. I declare unto you the gospel. Hallelujah. We have to look at the person of the resurrection. Jesus Christ, he's the one. And you know, when we start talking about this lamb, it's so many pictures of the lamb in the Old Testament. When we leave from even Exodus and we go back and back up to Abraham, the Bible says that Abraham, that he went up to sacrifice his own son. And when God says, if a man could give his son, what about me? Oh, he went to sacrifice his own son. The Bible says that here he was. He had a lamb, that a ram that was caught in the thicket. Amen. And he sacrificed him. And Abraham, before he went up, Isaac said, Daddy, he said, we got fire and we got wood, but where is the sacrifice? And Abraham said, the Lord himself will provide a. Do you know that the Lord himself will provide? Do you know that the Lord himself will provide? Amen. He provided himself as a sacrifice. He chose a virgin by the name of Mary, came down and was subjected to all of this. Let me get back on this. The person who we're talking about is Jesus. Jesus, his name is Yeshua in the Hebrew, and it means God is what? Salvation. Amen. He's Emmanuel. He means, his name means God is with us. Amen. And Paul goes on. Paul is a writer here to the Corinthians. He's letting them see. He said, I declared unto you a gospel. I'm telling you, I'm preaching this good news, because, you know, the good news is that all the bad news was wrong. I know what the devil said about you, that you was wretch undone. I know that he said that you can't be healed. I know he said you ain't no good and you can't be delivered. He said you bent to doing wrong. But guess what? God has hope in you. God has faith that whatever he's done already for you, that it's all right now. That's the good news. He said that I've already paid the price for your sin. The sin that you did yesterday and the sin that you're going to do tomorrow. He said, if you can keep the faith in me, I've already paid the price. All you have to do is believe. Now, that's what grace really is. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all don't let me go too long. Tell me when I'm about 20 minutes so I can get out. Amen. He said that, and he was buried and he rose again on the third day. Now, we talk about the person that was buried and he rose again on the third day. And he said that he was seen of Cephas and of other brethren and above 500 at one time. They all seen him. So when we look at not only the person of the resurrection, let's look at the products of resurrection. What did it give us? It gave us atonement. It gave us a peace with God. He said that he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our what? Iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was what? Laid upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. It brought about an atonement for us. Amen. It allowed us to be able to now come into the presence of God without a problem. And he says, look, that he says that that he was seen to show us that he resurrected. He was seen by Cephas. He was seen by above 500 brethren, all 12 disciples. And Paul said he was even seen by me. He said, I've seen him. And so what we got to see here is that if they could see him, we ought to be able to see him. Hey, look, and maybe the way you get to see him is through looking at Jesus in somebody else. Remember, we sung that song, what a friend we have in Jesus. Remember that? But now we need to start saying, what a Jesus we have in my friend. Have anybody seen Jesus inside of you lately? Or do they keep seeing that hellion that you was? Have anybody seen Jesus inside you lately? Are you giving them a piece of your mind, acting a fool? Have they seen Jesus lately inside of you? Amen. He's given us these products, atonement. He's given us forgiveness. He's given us mercy. He's given us salvation. He's given us the grace of our Lord. When we look at what he's given us through the resurrection, he's given us the ability to become sons of God. I wish I had somebody. Oh, yeah. When we look at this, see, we see that he's given us the forgiveness. When we couldn't forgive ourselves, he forgave us. Because of the resurrection, because of what Jesus did. He gave us mercy. He gave us grace. Grace, and when we look at grace, that's unmerited favor, meaning I don't really deserve it. I'm not good enough to get it. But God looked at me and said, you know what? I don't care if you're not good enough. I don't care if you don't deserve it. But I love you enough to give this grace to you. And so God wants us to understand that he loves us that much, that he gave his very best so that we could have a right to come into God's presence once again. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's given us freedom. He's given us salvation. The word salvation is, in theology you study, is called soteriology. And what the word salvation, the root word of salvation, it is the word salvage. And so what God did, he salvaged us. You know how you go to the wrecking yard and you say, you know, I just need that wiper blade piece that I can just put on my car. I don't need the whole thing, just a piece of it. And I don't want to pay for a new one because it costs too much. I can just go to the wrecking yard and get something that I can use. So God said, you know what? I don't need to go back and make man all over again. I don't need a new man. I can take the old wretched man and I can go to the mall of souls, or the wrecking yard of souls, and I can look for a piece. See, I was just an old piece of man. I really wasn't that good. I was no good, but he saw a piece that he can use in me. He said, I can put this in the ministry and I can make this thing work. I wish I had somebody. Oh, yeah, he salvaged me. He pulled me up out of the trash can, out of the dumpster, out of the savage yard of souls. And he said, you know he was messed up. I know that his life was a wreck. You know what goes to the wrecking yard? Those things that are wrecked, those things that nobody can use anymore. But guess what? If people can't use you, God can use you. Oh, hallelujah. God can use you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah, we got salvation. We got grace. And not only does he give us unmerited favor, we don't deserve this favor. And it's not because we've been good. You know, if you drove by somebody and you saw them walking, you pick them up, it's because of who you are, not because of who they are. Amen. It's because you got the car and you got the favor. Amen. And so you're doing them a what? Favor. And so we got grace. But you know what else grace also means? It means enabling power. It means that God enables us to do what we couldn't do. Amen. God enables you to forgive when you couldn't forgive. God enables you to love people who don't want to love you back. God enables you to pray for them that despitefully use you. God enables you to give your enemy water when he's thirsty and give him bread when he's hungry. God will enable you. Do you know that God is an enabler? He gives you the strength. He gives you the power. That's why Paul said, look, I'm tired of this thorn in my flesh. I just can't take it no more. God, I pray to you three times, and usually you do what I ask you to do. Usually you do it on the first try. Sometimes you do what I don't even ask you to do. But I've been praying three times, and then God spoke to Paul and said, look, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect where you weak. Sometimes God allows us to get down to our weakest point so that he can show us who he really is. See, if you want to know who God is, you just get weak. You want to know what God can do, you get to the point that you can't do nothing for yourself. You want to know if God is able, you get to the point that all your friends can't help you. All your family can't help you. You don't have no money in the bank. You don't have nothing going for yourself. And you just look up to God, and all of a sudden he opened up the door. Then you can testify and say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where, oh, where would I be? I'm just trying to declare to you the good news that he'll be whatever you need him to be.